Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Marcus Moore, who is TOP's music expert here. This guy knows his stuff. Marcus, thanks for coming on to talk Pitchfork.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, this coming weekend, Marcus is headed to Chicago. It's called the Pitchfork Music Fest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Pitchfork
Music
Fest.
Why don't you just start off by telling everyone what Pitchfork Fest is?
Well, Pitchfork Festival every year, it's a big blowout in Chicago. They've been doing it the past 10 years where they invite pretty much every act of note, not necessarily mainstream acts, but more so underground acts that are more so niche than mainstream. And they just pretty much invite everybody to rock out for 3 days. This year, they're going to be out there on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And you have everybody out there from Run the Jewels to Courtney Barnett to Slater Kinney. And it's a bunch of different acts out there. So, yeah.
What's the venue in Chicago?
Union Park.
Okay.
Union Park.
Gotcha. So you're going there for all 3 days?
You know, I'll be out there Friday and Saturday. Coming back Sunday, and that's when some of the good shows are going to be, some of the good artists. So I think I'm going to catch probably the first half of Sunday, but then, you know, I'll be flying back to D.C. So
cool. And what I wanted to do with this was, you know, for people that, you know, our listeners who can't make it to Chicago, you know, I wanted to kind of give them some heads up on some new artists that are going to be out there. Like you said, maybe some more niche artists, but let people know, you know, who they should be downloading and what makes these guys special. So I know you can't make it all 3 days, but of the 2 days you're going to, which one are you most looking forward to?
You know, I would say definitely Run the Jewels. Mm-hmm. Run the Jewels is interesting because it's two artists, a rapper named Mike Render and a producer rapper named LP. And it's more so of a comeback story. Both of those guys had such a great run in the early 2000s, the 90s and the early 2000s. And then, you know, just in my opinion, I thought they were gone. Both of them had pretty much run their course. But then Mike came out with a really awesome record that was produced by LP, and then LP came out with a really awesome record, and then they just combined forces, and they've, you know, had a career resurgence. I'm also looking forward to Jamie XX. He just came out with a really, really good instrumental record named In Color. It won. Matter of fact, it got Best New Music at Pitchfork. Courtney Barnett's another one. She came up with a really great album. She does more so of a folksy kind of thing. And an old favorite, you got Slater Kinney. People who watch Portlandia probably recognize mm-hmm. Carrie Brownstein, but they don't know that before Portlandia, she was actually an iconic rocker. And so her band is headlining Saturday night. So I think of all the artists, I'm probably looking forward to her the most.
And what about on Sunday after you're on your way back here? What are some of the ones you're like, I can't believe I'm not going to be there for that?
Madlib and Freddie Gibbs. Madlib and Freddie Gibbs is also an interesting pairing, just like Run the Jewels, because Freddie Gibbs is more so of a gangster rapper, quote unquote, whatever that means. And you got Madlib, who's this really, really, really quirky producer who is specialized in all this like deconstructed funk instrumental and things like that. And they combined forces and came out with a really great record. And so they're performing Sunday right as I'm getting on the plane. So, you know, hopefully they'll come to D.C. sometime soon, but I'm going to miss them.
What are some of the other artists?
You know, it's funny. You got Future Brown. That's a curious case because not too long ago, Pitchfork actually gave Future Brown a 6.5 out of 10. And it became this really big thing between the writer and the band where the band felt that they were slighted and the writer, you know, she wasn't backing down from her 6.5. Yeah. So the fact that they're playing the show is pretty curious to me.
Why'd she give him the 6.5?
She said that the album just wasn't as good as their previous stuff and that it wasn't as dynamic. Like Future Brown is this really dynamic group and she didn't feel like she just kind of felt like the Future Brown mailed it in.
A victim to your own high bar, you said.
Exactly, exactly. And so, you know, the 6.5 came out and it became this really big thing. So the fact that they're now playing Pitchfork Festival is quite curious. Now, they're actually playing Saturday, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that all plays out.
Nice. Now, let's say some of our listeners aren't too familiar. Maybe they've heard of Run the Jewels or a couple artists, but let's say they don't have any of it on their iPod right now. Where's a great place to start? What album should they get first? Let's say with Run the Jewels.
You got to go, you know, I'm going to go backwards on this one. You got to go Run the Jewels 2 and then Run the Jewels 1.
Why that?
Because Run the Jewels 2, it's funny. I guess I I pinpointed down to one song in particular. There's this one track, I forget the name of it, but the beat itself is really good. It's produced by LP, but then you hear all this crazy background noise. It's like, you know, how did they even simulate that? Come to find out, all the background noise that you hear is from the guy who made all the sounds on the in the Police Academy movies.
Really?
Yeah.
That, with his mouth. That did yeah, all the crazy. That guy. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can't. His name escapes. Yeah, Michael Winslow.
Okay.
Michael Winslow. So, yeah, the fact that you have all this crazy stuff going on in the background and it's him. So they're just doing crazy stuff like that on the second album. I feel like with the first one, you can tell that they were still sort of filling each other out. It was still a good record, but the second one, you can tell they were just like, you know what, we're just going to throw caution to the wind. We're just going to make the music we want to make, and it really turned out great. So I would say start with the second one and then go back to the first one. And they're working on the third one, so there you go.
All right, so that's Run the Jewels. For Jamie XX, what would you suggest someone downloading?
He only has one album. The first, I would say In Color is his first record. You got to just go with that one because it's just that good. Like, it's the thing about...
What makes it so good?
The thing about In Color is that it's seamless. Like, you can tell that he's still trying to figure stuff out as he goes along. Like, it's really, really... I guess it's more so deconstructed and it's analog-based. So you can tell he's just taking one sound and he's just getting as much out of that one sound as he can. He's building upon that until he goes to the next song. So it feels like one continuous suite of music, but he's playing with so many different sounds on what seems like a laptop, and it just really came out very well.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen any of these bands before? Have you gone to any other shows?
I've been to a Run the Jewels show. Mm-hmm. No, I haven't seen anybody else. I haven't seen anybody else on here, so I'm looking forward to that.
I had you kind of give some suggestions for people that don't know the bands, these groups at all. Mm. What about someone that's, you know, that's a hardcore fan? Jams that you really have a personal affinity for?
Like a B-side?
Yeah. A Marcus Moore deep track favorite.
That's a good question. That's a really good question. Chance the Rapper. He came up with this really awesome mixtape a couple of years back.
Where's this guy from?
He's from Chicago, actually. He's from Chicago, so he's headlining on Saturday, and he's headlining his hometown. But Chance the Rapper came up with this really awesome mixtape, and then naturally everyone is like, well, okay, where's the debut album? You know, where's the studio album? He decided not to even go that route. He's part of this jazz album that just came out from this cat named Donnie Trumpet. Donnie Trumpet and the Social Experiments, the name of the band.
Not to be confused with Donald Trump.
Right, that'd be different.
Way different.
That'd be different. So I would say with him, just download the new album. Just get the new album because it's so different from what he did on this mixtape. It's more jazzy. It's more R&B influenced that the whole thing is just so obscure that, you know, it's good music, but it's not anything you'll hear on the radio.
You mentioned, what is it, Chance the Rapper?
Chance
is from
Rapper.
Chicago, where the concert is. Are there any local guys from D.C.?
Oh, XX. XX is performing. They are a D.C. punk band.
Okay.
You also have Future Islands, which is a D.C., I guess that is a D.C. dance group. Like, they make dance music.
Right.
They're performing. I don't think anyone else from D.C. is performing it. I made sure I looked for that specifically, and I didn't see anything, so...
Let's do something fun. We have a list of in front of us of all the artists that are going to be playing there. Let's kind of go down the list and tell me an existing band from the past or two or three that each one you think is influenced by or sounds like. So let's start with Run the Jewels.
Run the Jewels. They remind me a lot of the Ghetto Boys from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Scarface, Willie D, those people, where it's... Yeah, it's based in the South, and there's also some Outkast influence in there as well.
Okay.
Where it's like it's based in the South.
The two guys combining.
Yeah, but
it's
the two guys combining, and it just works. So I would say that's who they remind me of. But at the same time, LP is from Brooklyn, and so there's also some I feel some sort of like De La Soul influence in there as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Me, myself, and Run the Jewels. Slater Kinney. Who do they sound close to?
themselves.
That's the best thing.
You know, because they're so old school that, you know, they remind me of like 1980s New York punk, you know, where it's like it's still trying to come on. It's still trying to find its own identity, but it's also looking towards the future because they came out in the 90s. And so Sleater-Kinney came out after that first wave of punk music, and you can tell that they're influenced by the Ramones, right, and people like that. But they're also, you know, they're based in, I think, Washington State. So they're influenced by all different kinds of art.
We had Marky Ramone on the other day, or been a couple months ago, talking all about how he came up in the New York scene.
Really?
But this is more like the 70s, so you're saying this is kind of
post this. Yeah, it sounds like that. You hear vestiges of nostalgic punk music, mm-hmm, but you can tell that it's punk music with like an indie rock slant. It's a little cleaner.
Okay. You mentioned Chance the Rapper. Does he have any?
You know what? Chance the Rapper reminds me of Slum Village.
Yes, I remember.
Reminds me of Slum Village, this really awesome rap group from Detroit. Jay Dilla was a producer, and he's even influenced by Jay Dilla, and he sampled Slum Village on his mixtape.
Maybe that's why they remind.
Yeah.
What about Panda Bear? Just going down the list.
Panda Bear he doesn't remind me of an artist specifically, but he does remind me of 5 years ago, there was this really big boom in UK dance music. It felt like everything had that same sort of tempo, the same bass drums. He's doing that. He's even based overseas now. He moved from the States to Europe. And his music reflects that, but it's more reflective. So, like, for example, it has the bounce of UK dance music, mm-hmm, but you can tell that there's some themes going on there. It's very pastoral in a sense.
Nice. All right. What influences are in Caribou?
Caribou is more cavernous. Like, it's dance music, but it's a little more thoughtful. And it's a little more methodical. Here's a good example. It's like there's some dance music where when you go to a party, it's just like this persistent thump. Mm-hmm. It's this persistent, like very, very fast thump. Whereas Caribou, it's that dance music that you're listening to when you're just hanging out at the bar.
Right.
You know, you just kind of lean in and you got drink in hand and you just want to hear some music, but you don't necessarily
not feeling feel like your rib cage rattle every 2 seconds.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's more methodical. And so that's what his album is called, called Our Love. And the whole thing is just like this really, really serene dance
music.
So
it's a little smoother.
It's smooth. It's very smooth. You know what it did remind me of when I listened to it? I felt some George Michael influence on it.
Really?
There. Yeah. Yeah. Like early George Michael, like Wham. Wham,
wow.
George
wow.
Michael. That's what it felt like to me when I listened to it. It's like, wow, I can hear like some Careless Whisper elements in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Does it have the saxophone of Careless Whisper? Yeah.
It does not have a saxophone. Thank God.
All
There's
right.
no saxophone in there.
Gotcha. Well, there's Caribou. All right. Courtney Barnett.
Joni Mitchell.
All right.
She feels like Joni Mitchell to me, where the thing about Courtney Barnett is that you can tell she just, for the lack of a better term, she just doesn't care. Where she's just like, look, hey.
That can be a great thing.
Even down to her song titles, it's just like, look, this is what I was feeling at the time. This is exactly what the song's about. There's nothing overly artistic about it.
Right.
And I'm going to put out this song, and it's going to be great. And it's very minimal.
No double meanings. It's just straightforward.
No double meanings. It's just, I'm eating a cookie right now, writing a song, you know. She doesn't have a title like that, but it's just that literal.
I think you just gave her an idea of the cookie song.
Yeah. Exactly. But the thing I like about Courtney Barnett is that her album is very, very autobiographical, where she's just, you know, talking about things that she's going through, and it really connects to the listener. I think that's what made her stand out even more. And quite frankly, there's just not a whole lot in her music that distracts from her voice. It's just light drum patterns. It's her and her guitar, maybe her and a piano. And that's it. And that's it. And that's all she needs to do.
Nice. So A$AP Ferg, how about these guys?
A$AP Ferg is part of this crew. He's part of this crew with A$AP Rocky. And they're based in New York, but they have very, very deep Southern influences. And they're really specializing in trap music, which is very popular these days, where, you know, it's just all about like very, very heavy drums, very, very dark messages, party music. But he does it well. He does a good job. That's not really my bag, but he does a good job of keeping it sort of in the middle and not necessarily so grotesque that you can't listen to it or you can't play it around people.
Are there any people here performing that are more grotesque?
Yeah.
Or is that about as far as it goes?
I think that's about as far as it goes. No, I take that back. Vince Staples. Vince Staples, but he is more so telling a story. He reminds me of NWA.
Okay.
Where he's telling a story. Yeah, it may hit your ears kind of hard, but he's telling a story that needs to be told. He's talking about police brutality. He's talking about pretty much everything that you hear in the headlines now anyway, in current events.
Are you going to go see that movie? It comes out in a couple weeks. It's straight out of Compton, yeah.
I'm thinking I'm going to go see it. I keep looking at the trailer, and I'm like, I think I'm going
to
go
see it. I'll definitely go see it because I'm going to have to review it. But I was just curious, as a music guy, if you were like really jazzed up about it or if you're
happens. That's the thing, and it's probably going off topic a little bit, but it's just like I grew up with hip-hop, but these days I don't necessarily play it as much.
Hmm.
You know, I'm more so interested in the Miles Davis movie that's coming out. Right. And at some point, there's going to be a movie about Fela Kuti, who's this iconic Afrobeat pioneer from Nigeria. So I'm more so looking towards that, man.
How did that personal shift happen?
That's a good question.
Is it just part of maturing and growing up, or what do you think it is?
That's exactly what it is, man. It's just like growing up, I listened to a lot of heady stuff. Like I was listening to, you know, aforementioned NWA. I was listening to Public Enemy, KRS-One, De La Soul, people like that. And so I've always had an affinity for music that was on MTV. I was my cousin always jokes that, oh, you've been studying for this job for like 30 years because I would always sit in front of MTV and watch David Bowie.
Right.
Watching Madonna, watching Michael Jackson, all Pat Benatar, all of this stuff. So I just think over the years, just me being a professional full-time music critic, I just have such an affinity for other types of art that even when I'm reviewing stuff now, like, yeah, I'm reviewing a hip-hop record currently for Pitchfork, but give me all the crazy stuff that's difficult to wrap my arms around.
Yeah.
So I think it just came from that, too. Like, it's just growing up and maturing, and it was also, well, give me a challenge. Like, I can cover hip-hop all the time. Let me cover something I've never heard.
I'm showing my range here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that's where it came from.
I love it. If you we're kind of going down the Marcus Moore
memory
lane, but while we're there, I'm going to do something that I hate when everyone asks me with movies.
Do it, man.
Favorite artists. I'm not going to make you pick one. But
oh, no, that's an easy one. That's really an easy
you
one.
Have a favorite artist.
Do you mean of all time?
Let's say of all time.
Okay, of all time, Stevie Wonder.
Nice. I can't fault you there, man.
Stevie Wonder of all time, with a close second being Questlove from The Roots.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nice. Why Stevie?
Stevie because...
I guess I should say, why not Stevie?
Stevie because, I mean, and it's probably going to be a typical answer, but the fact that he can draw such emotion from things that he has never seen is amazing to me. Like, and the fact that he can play all these different instruments and he just does not have that vision. That's crazy to me. And with Questlove, he executive produced a couple of the albums that just totally changed my whole musical perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, in fact, he executive produced Common's Like Water for Chocolate album that came out in 2000. And he executive produced or helped executive produce Common's Electric Circus album, which was, I think, is incredible. People hate it, but I think it's amazing. I think those are my top two of all time.
Okay.
I'll keep it there for now.
Okay. Other than Questlove, who else? They don't have to be playing at Pitchfork, but who else are you really digging on right now?
I tell you, and I don't know if this will make the air ever, but YU, he's a local rapper. I can't even call him a rapper. See, I feel like that's a disservice, but his artistic name, lowercase y, capital U, his real name is Mike Willingham Jr., and he lives in Deanwood. Super low-key guy, but by far, he is my favorite rapper in the world.
Really?
Like, in the world. He's my favorite musician in the world right now.
And he's a local guy.
He's a super local guy, and he's super low-key. He's part of this group. Not too long ago, I wrote this cover story on this rap group called the Diamond District, and he's one of them. He's one of three. He's my favorite one from the Diamond District, and he's just such a great musician, and he's super humble. Like, even in doing reporting for that story, and I go over there, he's playing stuff, and he just acts like it's no big thing. Like, oh, yeah, I'll play this song. And he clicks play, and it's just the greatest thing you've ever heard. And it's like, dude, put this out now.
Right.
But YU is my favorite. Another local.
We have to do a follow up on that, you know, a whole piece on him one time. Let's do it.
He's amazing. But and another local guy who's easily my second favorite is his artistic name is Kokai. His real name is Carl Walker, and he does it all. There's nothing he can't do great. I've seen him one time at Live Nightclub. His equipment messed up. He freestyled his entire set, like literally lyrics. He freestyled songs for an hour.
Wow.
And you couldn't even tell that he freestyled.
How many artists, particularly radio, you know, mainstream artists, could do that? If their equipment went out, a lot of them would be screwed.
Not mainstream.
Yeah.
No, that's a lot. People.
Some, but most probably not.
Right. And there are some people underground. There are definitely some people underground who could do that. But Kokai, he did that. He can, like, if he came out with a straight up hip hop album, it would be amazing. Yeah. But he does instrumental, like, dance music. He does straight up hip hop music. He sings. He's done great jazz. Mm-hmm. He's awesome. And here's a fun fact. YU and Kokai are next door neighbors.
Really?
They live right next door to each other. Like, YU could throw a stone at
Kokai's
Did
they do, like,
house.
Tin cans as kids? And,
no. It's,
I have these cool lyrics.
No, it's more so recent. But, yeah, it's just funny. They both live over there in Deanwood, right next to each other.
That's the new Hitsville, USA, man. Deanwood.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
YU. You heard it here first.
Yes. I've been trying to tell people, like, YU and Kokai, amazing. Two amazing artists.
All right. Awesome. What are your biggest gripes with what is played on the radio? And which ones are getting it right?
My biggest gripe with the radio nowadays is that everything sounds exactly the same. I feel like if you've heard one song, you've heard every song that they're going to play in the next hour. It's all pretty much going to be some disparaging music. If it's hip-hop, it's gonna cast certain people in a negative light because that's what sells records.
Right. It's formulaic.
It's formulaic. And so, to that end, someone mainstream who I think is doing a really great job is Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
Because
he just played at Sweet Life, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he did. He did. Kendrick Lamar is doing it right simply because you can tell he doesn't care about that spotlight. Like, even I saw a story not too long ago where he just bought a house, but it's like this super modest house that's way outside of L.A. It's like in a cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really, you know, he's very low-key.
It's no Deanwood, but, you know.
Yeah, no, it's no Deanwood, you know, L.A. But the thing about Kendrick is that his first album was great enough. And that was quote-unquote mainstream, so the pressure was on him to do something that topped that and to do something that was equally mainstream. And Kendrick said no. He went the exact opposite track because his album came out right when the Ferguson thing happened, right when the Eric Garner situation happened, and so...
This Pimp a Butterfly?
Yes. It's more so of a conceptual album, but he doesn't have any singles, but they still get played on the radio. That's remarkable to me because there's so much pressure for artists to conform to that. And he's just like, no, screw it. I'm just going to do what I want. And that's that. And it's working out really well for him.
Any other artists like that?
D'Angelo, even though he's not new, he's been around forever.
Right.
But he did the same thing where he just kind of came out and said, hey, here's what I have to say, and I'm going to step back from it.
Right.
D'Angelo, J. Cole does a good job. He came up with a similar sounding album. Somebody else, Sufjan Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I'm saying his name right, but but Sufjan Stevens, he is a low-key folk artist. And the album that he just came out with was called Carrie and Lowell, and it's dedicated literally to his parents. And it's... There are barely any instruments on it. Like, it's like maybe a light acoustic guitar, some occasional drums, a little bit of piano, but it's driven by his voice. And I felt like he had the same resonance as a Drake or as a Jay-Z, which is using his voice. And I think that's equally remarkable.
Yeah, that's all I got. Okay. Unless it's no. But it's fascinating to let you just throw a name out there and just let you watch you just go on and on about him. And he has no notes, ladies and gentlemen. Marcus Moore.
I study, man. I'm a nerd.
Are you just listening to music constantly? You get out of TOP and it's just right in.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. It's like when I'm not here, I'm equally busy covering music.
Right.
So
for what? Pitchfork? What other outlets?
Pitchfork. Right now, it's Pitchfork, The Washington Post, the Washington City Paper. Those are the main three, and they keep me busy enough, so I think I'm going to keep it there for the time being. But over the years, I've written...
You're sitting in Rolling Stone?
I was at Rolling Stone. I'm still kind of at Rolling Stone, but not as much. But I wrote a lot for the BBC until they got rid of their album reviews for whatever reason. MTV,
no more music in Britain.
Yeah, yeah. No. MTV, Complex Magazine, OK Player, and so right. on and so forth. Right. So, yeah. Yeah, man, that's what I do. That's what I've been doing full time.
That's awesome. Well, let's get you on here more, and so we can get the TOP audience to discover all these cool bands that you're talking about, man.
Let's do it, man.
So, all right, man. All right, guys, that's Marcus Moore on WTOP. He's going to the Pitchfork Music Festival. Do you know what annual year this is? How long they've been doing it?
This is the 10th. This is a big one.
Oh, man. This is the decade.
Exactly. It's the big one. They're blowing it out this year.
All right. And Marcus will be there for 2 of the 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So go there on Sunday and then come back and teach him something.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, man. Marcus, thanks for coming on WTOP.
Thanks
See
for
you out
me.
In the newsroom.
All right.